three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. This is Tuesday, late on Tuesday, December 14th. Very special episode. Joseph Kaur speaking, but I'm joined by, of course, Andrew Kenyon. And a special guest from the Throwback Hoops is Woody. Woody, introduce yourself.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, I mean, Woody V, the name from Throwback Hoops. If you haven't heard the podcast of the show, you can check us out on YouTube or you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. So, you know, it's an honor to be in the presence of some royalty, boys. So thanks for having me.
Wow. I like Woody already.
I know. Get him back every week, right? That's the best praise we've had in a long time.
Speaking of which, now on this episode, we're going to be going through round two, look ahead towards round three. We've got a bunch of topics. It's going to be very free flowing. That's what people kind of like about this show. We've also got a lot of listener feedback. We'll be throwing that in. That's about it, really. But before we start, I think it's important, all three of us, because while we're round two, we probably should have done this in round one, Andrew, but I think it's important. We're all going to introduce ourselves once more because there might be new listeners to the pod. And really, this is like Dragon's Den. We're making pitch to new viewers or new listeners why they should listen to us. And in the case of Woody, you know, him and Rob over at Throwback Hoops. So let's start with Woody, then go UAC and then myself. So Woody, man, introduce yourself, do the Dragon's Den pitch. Why should people listen?
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. So as you said, you know, we host a show called Throwback Hoops, myself and my boy Robbie. We've been friends for 20 years and we decided to do this much like you. But, you know, some people like vanilla ice cream and, you know, that's fine. You know, vanilla tastes great. But, you know, with me, you'll get some bubblegum flavor or hokey pokey. You know what I'm saying, guys? You know, I'm a bit eccentric and loud and most of all passionate and extremely knowledgeable about the game. So I try to deliver my opinion and my thoughts while also and not letting go of my personality and who I am as a person. You know what I'm saying? So I have fun while I'm doing it. And you'll hear that come out all the time when I'm speaking. So, yeah.
I like it. It's funny enough, vanilla ice cream. I think that was one of my nicknames when I played.
Yeah. I like it,
the
AC.
White boy on the court.
One or two scoops.
I like it, AC.
Andrew Kenyon, I've been doing this podcast with Joe since I stormed in and, you know, jumped in on his parade for the last 18 months or so, maybe even longer. I'm not sure. Been a while. But in terms of why you would even listen to me, well, I've been watching NBL basketball for 34 years.
Wow.
Which bloody dates me, right?
Amazing.
That puts me as an old man who used to play. I did used to play. My knees, ankles, hips, everything else said, no, you've had enough about 3 years ago. So I had to give the game away. But mate, I love the NBL. I'm not an NBA guy. I like occasionally watch it, but don't really care about it. But NBL is like my jam. Mm. I'm not a fan of hot takes either. So I like to have a considered view. So you're probably not going to get the Corey Homicide Williams razzle dazzle from me. I'll leave that to others more qualified, but I'm willing to investigate what's going on and have a little bit of a think.
That's Andrew, I couldn't put it better. And Andrew brings a very clinical mindset. You know, your background is business management and you get that sense that, you know, that's what I've always liked about Andrew. Thinking about the game, thinking about it off court a bit, but how the two meld together. I like it. Of myself, I've often pondered this question. Like, why would people listen? And I guess the question is, I don't know if I'd listen to our own podcast. It's a funny thing, if I can be totally honest with you, but what I am is, I mean, I work in the sector. I work with a company called Stats Performance, soon to be another platform as well. It's not particularly lucrative, but I do enjoy it. I guess the reason why you'd listen is, especially this season, now that we've got more at our disposal, we're going to try and be more of a conduit for the fan. We're going to go to Twitter more. We're going to bring in more people's thoughts and things. So really why you should listen to me or this show is, and Andrew and Woody does this with his own pod as well, is we bring the fan experience. We try and highlight that. We're not former players. We're not coaches. I think our opinion is worth only as much as anyone else in the stands. So we're trying to reach out to that group, and I hope they like it. So that's my answer.
Very good. And I just want to jump in before we move on to our agenda topics. I want to say that I've done something a little different tonight. We're recording on Zoom tonight, but I'm also wearing a jersey because Throwback Hoops, where Woody's home, his podcast home, they have a jersey. They wear a jersey every time. Is this all right, Woody?
This is correct, AC. And when we have you on the show, you're going to have to wear a jersey. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, you know, I don't have a huge wardrobe of jerseys to choose from, but I thought this one would be really good to wear tonight. I'm going to steal your ID, put it onto our show just for this once, because this is about collaboration. This is like NBL people getting together and like talking the sport they love. This jersey represents OG collaboration, right? Because this goes back. I don't know if you can read that. I don't know if it's backwards on your video.
No, I've got backwards. It says Oz Hoops is what it reads
Oz
to me.
Hoops, yeah.
That's exactly what it says. This is where it began for me on the internet. Oz Hoops. Derek Nielsen in Queensland.
Yeah.
He used to run ozhoops.com.au, and yep. It was an actual website. It was like news. I wrote a few articles for a news thing he put out many, many years ago.
Wow.
And it basically boiled down. It became a discussion board before Twitter and all that. And I'm going to reveal myself because I think the archives are well and truly gone. I flipped to the back. You can't see it, but that's all right. It says Splinky. Splinky. It says Splinky because that was my username.
Right.
Number 6, because that's my number.
God, mate. Me.
And the dunk guy, Ben, I think it is in Queensland. He makes the unis, right? Yeah, he's still doing his thing too.
Yeah.
So it's the whole collab thing. Those people are still bouncing around out there. I know they are. Yeah. So yeah,
good on him, man.
Just wanted to represent the OG NBL guys.
It's got a personal touch as well, AC, man. So I like it, man. You know?
Passes muster. Woody's happy with it.
Oh, most def, man. Most def.
And listen, I listened to Liam San Maria on Throwback Hoops. Your last episode would have come out, maybe a couple of days ago.
Yes.
Man, Woody and Rob, let's not forget him. They both get the best out of these guests. Like Liam was leaning in his chair. He's telling stories that I hadn't heard. So people out there, if you like that sort of thing, definitely listen, subscribe to the whole thing. I think I even feature on an episode.
You do indeed, JC.
Maybe start with that one, whatever. All right, guys, that's enough about us. Let's jump into NBL. All right, so this was a really good round. I mean, this was probably one of the best rounds. This is one of the best round twos of all time. This may have been one of the best rounds, full stop. This was outstanding. I thought you had only a couple of real detractors in the Cairns game, but we'll skim over that. But before we do that, fan interaction. We had a person dial into the podcast. So what we're asking people to do is email us a video clip or audio clip of you with an opinion or a question, and then we go to it. And this one this week comes from Shadow Stalker. It's about the Adelaide 36ers. I'm going to play it now. Have a listen. We'll come back and talk about it.
Hello, NBL Pocket Podcast and Andrew Cannon. My name is Mr. Shadow Stalker here. First time caller, long time listener. I said that backwards, but that's okay. I am Mr. Show Stalker on Twitter, so everyone that is listening to this, that's where you can send all your hatred to, because I have the garbage opinion that the 36ers do not know how to play basketball in the second half. Now, to clarify, I am a 36ers supporter, and I do go to all their home games. I do pay 2 full-price memberships for them, each costing me $570 each. So the last few seasons, I have noticed the 36ers do really strong on the first half, and they do really bad in the second half. So bad, in fact, that I actually quite constantly say to people that I talk to about the NBL that the 36ers figure out how to play basketball. So my partner, who normally comes with me to these games, she hasn't been able to due to work. So I've invited a friend each time who don't really pay attention to the Australian Basketball League, more to the NBA, and show them what they're potentially missing out on. During the first home game, I don't remember who it was with, because quite honestly it was a forgetful game. We lost, no surprise. I said to my friend during the halftime break is that don't get too excited, the 36ers are going to forget how to play basketball. And sure enough, as soon as the second half started, they forget how to play basketball, doing constant turnovers, can't put a bucket in the board or anything like that, can't play defensive, definitely can't play offensive, and sure enough, we lost, and that was quite sad. Now, the second time we had a home game, which was against the Breakers this Sunday, I actually brought a friend who's never been to a basketball game at all, not even in the NBL sense. They've never seen a local game or anything like that. They watch plenty of NBA games, but they don't actually watch anything to do with the NBL. So I invited them to come along, just so they could get a feel for how the basketball league here is doing, and showing them that it's actually just as good as the NBA. But the problem with that was that the 36ers decided to forget how to play basketball in the first half and not in the second half. The game was delayed by 10 minutes as well, too, resulting from the Southeast Melbourne game, and they had to leave halfway through. So as you can imagine, they left at halftime with the team in a pretty bad deficit with no hope in sight. It didn't help with Humphreys getting into early foul trouble, buckets not being made, and having a large deficit in the first quarter alone. Dusty Hannes surprisingly actually saved me from embarrassment, or dying in embarrassment, in the second quarter when he made a three, just after the team had died. Now, I actually did go on the Facebook page of the Adelaide 36ers and commented on their starting five lineup and said that the 36ers were dead on arrival, because quite honestly, at that time, I thought there was no hope of them actually turning it back around and winning this. Because the 36ers, normally once they start going into a deficit like that, that's it, the game's over, I'm already walking out the door. But I stuck around because, you know, the tickets are quite expensive to me in this post-COVID world, not having stable incomes and all that sort of stuff. So I have to get my money's worth out of it. Sure enough, the 36ers played but they were able to turn it back around and beat the New Zealand Breakers. And surprisingly, as a diehard 36er fan, I was actually disappointed about the result, because quite honestly, I didn't think the 36ers deserved that win, as I thought the New Zealand Breakers actually did a better job at playing basketball. Now, to be fair, they ended up losing it at the last quarter, especially within the last 5 minutes, but I still didn't think that the 36ers deserved that win as much as every other 36er fan in the arena was telling me otherwise. So yeah, that's my garbage hot take. Thank you for listening. If you want to make any comments about it, or you want to just yell at me, make sure to get at me at Mr. Shadowstalker on Twitter. Thanks, guys.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
All right, so that was that. That was Shadow Stalker. I guess he didn't really pose a question. He more just made a comment. Let's just talk about Adelaide in general and that game that he's referring to. I think it was the one against the Breakers, right? Let's go with you, AC. Your impressions of that game.
Yeah, I mean, Adelaide are a work in progress. I think that's the thing we need to think about here. One thing as well, he mentioned the price of 36ers tickets. Now, I'm here in Perth. I'm listening to that going, man, they're cheap. What are you complaining about?
Right.
Jeez, I'd get in on that deal, because I think Perth tickets are about twice as much, if not more so. So don't complain about the price, man. You're doing well there. Your team does kind of suck, but they're a work in progress. They're going to get better. I've got some concerns. I don't know. Imports worry me a little bit, particularly Withers. I think he's kind of average, but I don't really see what else he's bringing to the table. So fair enough. I'm also worried that Cam Bairstow is potentially outplaying Isaac Humphreys. Interested to see what you guys think about that, because that would not have been the plan coming into this season.
No.
Not at all.
Man, I'm going to jump in. I want to make it the first game I think he's referring to when Tasmania played Adelaide and Steindl had a good game. I want to make a point about, I've really liked Steindl for a long time. He's been real hot and cold, but I think his hot and coldness was exacerbated by Trevor Gleeson. Gleeson kept him on a leash that was inches, so short. And I think he's getting a little bit more run over in Tasmania because they don't have a lot of wing depth. He's their best shooter by far. And he had a good game in that one. I like. I will say as well, if you're listening back to it, people listening, take a shot every time Shadow Stalker says, forgot how to play basketball. You get about 8 shots in. That one came up a bunch of times. But yeah, I'm with you on this one. We said this in the preseason, both Woody and AC. I was like, listen, this Humphreys, he's going to miss time. And is he hurt? Is he not? My big thing with Humphreys is he's a better singer than he is basketball player. And that's not because he's a bad basketball player. It's just because he's a really good singer. And it's like OBJ last year left to go and pursue fashion, left the game. And I'm kind of like, Humphreys, man, are you a singer or a basketball player? Because it seems to me you might be better with the pipes. What do you think, Woody?
Yeah, look, I mean, I said in my team preview at the start of the season, this team's going to go as far as Isaac takes it, right? And the kind of MVP form that he was showing, defensive player of the form, year form he was showing at the starter last season was unreal. And he's not really been able to find that since he went out with that injury. And I kind of agree with Andrew in terms of at the start of the season, Rob asked me, who's the first import you think is going to get cut? And I said, Todd Withers, man, this guy, you know, I'm not sure about him. But he actually stepped up in that second half, AC. You know, he looked okay, right? So
true, yeah. He did show some improvement. The same as Hannah's, yeah, right? Yeah, definitely improvement from both. But I don't know, like, I just don't see Withers really contributing much more than what they got. What was it? Name escapes me. The skinny import that last season, I totally forgot.
Oh, Crocker.
Crocker,
Tony,
yeah.
Crocker. Oh, love Tony Crocker, man.
Like, yeah. You might as well get him back.
Yeah, I like him.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, at least he was consistently average, but Withers isn't really consistent in any way, shape, or form so far.
Mm. I mean, Hannes comes with a high pedigree, right? He's achieved a lot in his career up to date, had a great college career. Withers, you know, he's kind of like, you can't find a lot about him if you do research, actually. So I mean, the staff at Adelaide and the scouts and everything obviously saw something in him. But yeah, I'm with you, AC. We're gonna have to wait and see with him, right?
The one thing I like about Adelaide so far, though, is I feel like they already feel like more of a team than they ever did under Connor Henry.
Oh, yep.
I already feel like CJ's kind of got them bought in more than they ever were last season. So I'm willing to give CJ a bit of time. Because I think he's on the right path, but I think, you know, this takes a while. So
I want to say two things following on from Shadow Stalker. Number one was, did anyone feel like the Adelaide's win over New Zealand? New Zealand had that lead and then kind of blew it. I thought that was a fatigue loss. I agree with Shadow Stalker on this. They had it and then they just faded off towards the end. They had injuries to two imports. I didn't see where Adelaide didn't win it. I thought New Zealand lost it. That's really unfair to say to the 36ers, but that's just what I thought. Going back to the Tasmania game, I got a question for you both.
Yep.
And it was Tasmania, Adelaide. Adelaide just getting over the line, that Hannah's Bank 3 or whatever it was. That saved, had shades of when, remember when David Ware for Sydney a couple of years ago hit that big shot in Perth to save
nothing but net, bud. That was nothing but net, baby. That was nothing but net. Yeah.
And then didn't really play much well after that. But that may have been the one that stopped Adelaide going 0-3, which is a horror start to the season. Oh, I have this question, though. Majette, Hannes, both undersized guys. Teams are kind of, you know, they're bubbling along, whatever. Are both of them safe? What have you thought of those two? Let's go with AC first.
Look, I reckon they're both safe because I don't think these teams have an appetite to mix it up. I think, you know, for various reasons, I think Tasmania are trying to build something, so they want some consistency. Adelaide, I think they still think that there's potential with Hannah's. So I don't see either of them going. If I had to pick one or the other,
yeah, if you had to,
geez, I'd probably pick Hannah's. I don't like Majette's decision making. He keeps trying to launch NBA threes to win games. I don't like it.
Neither. What do you think, Woody?
Yeah, look, I think they're both safe for the season, right? And I mean, I might be a little bit of an Atlanta Hawks homer here. I follow Josh Majette's career pretty closely, right? And his performance in the G League. A lot of these imports come down here and think that they can just take over, like AC say and said, and dominate this league. But he's going to understand very quickly that this is a high quality league. But he's a great floor general. He will make better decisions as the season goes on. AC put some more trust in his teammates. I think we'll touch on Will Magne a little bit later in this episode. You know, he needs a little bit more from his big man. And Dusty Hannes. I mean, you saw him, the passion that he brought at the end of that game, right? You know, yep. I think Adelaide need a little bit of that, right? And CJ probably went, this is the New Zealand game I'm talking about. CJ probably went and yelled at them. They gave them a rollicking in the at halftime at that game, right? Because they couldn't guard a bar stool in that first half. So, I mean, props to CJ there for getting them out of the doldrums and getting them to play a bit harder in that second half as well in that New Zealand game. So,
let's stay with New Zealand, but move on to a different game. Quick comments on this one. Southeast Melbourne, New Zealand. We'll get to the bigger matchups later. Man, what's left to say? Like, Besson is amazing. Like, his shot is just pure. Him and Jessup, who's got the purest shot? You guys can talk about that. I want to say this though. Mumford looks really good. Like Creek was outstanding in that game too. He killed Delaney, who fatigued towards the end. What was I going to say? Brokoff. You know, he's a guy who's got to be good. 25 minutes played, 7 points in this one. You know,
it's a worry.
Are we convinced? Yeah, like, has anyone seen anything? Like, are we convinced he's turned the corner? I'm not.
He's cooked, man. He's cooked. I'm really worried. I'm not saying he's completely cooked. He can bring it back, but I'm really worried about, you know, the way he's been playing. You know, I thought he'd come into this year and he'd show some, you know, progress from what went on last year. I know he put his personal issues and everything behind him, right? I still have faith that he can get it back, but I mean, it's not looking great for him, right, Casey?
Yeah, he was at least attacking the rim a little bit more, and I like to see that. He needs to mix it up. I still worry for the Phoenix offense for those fucking 3-point shooters. They've had, last season and this season, they got Glidden, they got Tarangi, they got Brokoff, all guys who should be good spot up 3-point shooters, and their offensive structure just doesn't seem to get them really good looks.
Well, as was said by Corey Homicide Williams, get him the ball a little bit more, right, as well, right? You know, let's find Ryan Brokoff a little bit more and get him involved in the game. And it's on his teammates as well to get him involved a little bit. So it's not completely on him, right? So
I agree, man. Bordy, I'm so glad you said that. I feel like, imagine Brokoff running last year's Gleason-inspired flex and just running off screens and just running off two picks, catching it and shooting it. I'm not seeing a dribble game from him yet. I'll say this as well, like, there's a big difference between being an NBA player, but an NBA 12th man, and then coming to the NBL, starting a game, being 30-minute player, coming in out of games, knowing when to push, when to pull back. It's a whole different equation for him, and he's really just played that role for the last couple of years of being an NBA struggler and scraggler. And now it's transitioned into, holy shit, now I'm a star. And the transition has been a lot for him, and I'm sure there's a lot going off court as well, but yeah, end of the day, it kind of comes down to that. I want to ask about Dan Shamir. This season does not look like it's going to break well for the Breakers.
Surprise. COVID. When does it ever?
Yeah, this is the third year in a row. COVID, scheduling, injury, so on and so forth. Shamir, like, he's out of contract at the end of this year. What do you guys think? Does he get another go around? Has he done enough? Or what do you think?
Go ahead, Woody.
He's really grown on me, you know. I like what he brings to the table, and it's a bit unfair to judge him on these two seasons with what's been going on. These guys don't get to play at home. You know, they're early in the season, they've been hit by the COVID bug and whatnot. So they haven't really had that chance to thrive under him in an environment that's conducive for success. Let's say that, right? Am I fair in saying that?
The one, I agree with that totally. The one thing I have is he's an expressive coach on the floor, off the floor. His assistant coach is expressive. They've been a team that has, you know, like Patterson was just a flame up, a nightmare. They just couldn't bring him in or didn't put the things in place to get him in shape or persist with him. So there is that volatility with Shamir, and maybe you got Matt Walsh, who's eccentric. You got Shamir, who's a bit crazy. Moody Mayor, who's out there.
Oh, man.
I love that guy, but that's a lot of that's a lot of bouncing around. You need some stability. So I hope, if again, it's going to be the same year that when they had Hobson. Bad start, finish real strong. I can see it in the DNA already. They've got really good players, but they're just going to be behind the eight ball, and it's not going to go well. AC, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I find it really hard to read Shamir. He seems like a consummate professional in a sense, you know, but at the same time, he's never been a player. He freely admits that. And I sometimes worry if he just is too technical in the way that he goes about it. He doesn't appreciate sometimes maybe what it's like to be a player in the moment. So I may be a little bit influenced as well, because I just finished watching the Unbreakable TV series.
Dude, tell me about that. What's it
like? Yeah, it was really interesting. I was trying to read into how much the players liked him, and it was a real clear, obvious thing that Patterson couldn't stand him. But Tom Abercrombie and stuff, they seemed to be quite all in with him. But then there was another moment where Ty Webster was just saying, like, oh, we're in a timeout. He was talking about a game to win it. It was the one where Abercrombie hit the buzzer beater.
Yep.
Yeah.
Against Cairns.
Yeah, that's right. And it had Ty Webster saying, like, I knew the player was being called for me. We're in the timeout. I didn't really listen to what Shamir was saying. I was just psyching myself up, thinking, what am I going to have to do to get open and get the score? He just totally tuned out whatever the coach said. It's just really interesting. I don't know. And then he's left, obviously. So I just don't know whether Shamir, I think Shamir is like, you love him or you hate him kind of coach. Right.
Yeah, I get that vibe. And, you know, that's weird. Ty Webster, there's only one shot he's ever refused or not gone in for.
I love AC. Go, hey, bro, pass it to me. Hey, bro, pass it back to me. I've heard you on the podcast before, man, talking about the Webster brothers. I love it, AC, by the way.
They love the shot, and they're as eccentric on the
court. That is so true, though, man. Yeah, hey, bro, pass it to me.
Let's jump on. We're saving the throwdown till later. I want to talk about the freeway series. Sydney, Illawarra. This was a really good game. This was hard fought. This had fun to it, considering Sydney without both Adams and Hunter. I got a question for Andrew on this one.
Yep.
Are we seeing in Chase Buford, Will Weaver 2.0 funky lineups, dude? We had, at one point, I'm looking
you,
at my
you're hot on this one, aren't you, Jay? Man, I just don't like these sub patterns.
Yeah. And here's why. I just hate, if you're going to be a G League coach, that's great. Go on. That's the G League, but you're in the NBL. You're not in the G League. And I hate it when coaches make decisions in a game on the floor based on a job interview they're going to have in whenever his contract expires. I find that really cynical. And I think that's what's going on here, because funky lineups, dude. Swakala Bullock, Bales, Cooks, Galloway, McCurr. That was a lineup that played big, solid minutes at one point, and they were hemorrhaging points. And this is the Hawks. It's a big game. You've beefed it up all week. And then you put, anyway, Chase Buford, early thoughts. Go for it, Andrew.
Unconvinced. He seems like he's a work experience kid. You know, I know he comes from basketball royalty, right? Yeah. The Spurs and Buford and all that kind of stuff. Like, fair enough, but you know what happens to second generation wealthy kids? They spend the fortune, right?
Right.
I'm worried that this guy, you know, he's gotten himself into a good position, but what's he doing with the Kings? I don't get it.
Woody, you're a Kings guy. Come on, talk us off the cliff, or maybe you're with us. Where are you going?
Look, I was at the game myself, right? And I quite enjoyed Wani and you know, Angus Glover getting that opportunity to start, right? But I'm not...
Start a fight, was that? Was that start a fight?
Yeah, start a fight, right, yeah, as well. That was unneeded, by the way. But look, I guess let's hold out a little bit. It's been two games, right? And I see what you're saying with the funky lineups and... you know, I think maybe in that game particularly that he probably should have played, you know, Tommy Vodanovic a little bit more. And you know, some of those Galloway minutes should have gone to Tommy V, who's really proved himself. And like, you know, that's the problem with the Kings. You know, you bring in a new coach every year, you bring in a new nucleus every year. And it's like a guy comes and he tries to, you know, stamp his authority on the team with new players, etc. And there's no continuity, right? You got Sean Bruce is the longest serving player on that team. That's been our problem going back the last 20 years as a team. So I think let's wait and see. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that one, man. I've
taken one step back from the edge of the cliff. I'm not totally sold.
One and a half steps back.
Okay.
Well done, Woody. Well done. I want to say Sean Bruce, obviously the player of the round is going to be that massive dunk from Creek, but that little frozen round the back pass where Antonius Cleveland froze up Sean Bruce, that was fun too. And it got eclipsed. That would have been the player of the round and you would have had NBA Bogue on.
Hey, I like that AC as well, man. Antonius Cleveland, he's dope, man.
He's
right?
Nice. He is a good player. He's a G League fringe guy, NBA fringe guy. He can definitely play.
I love that move. And Joe particularly likes that move because anytime Sean Bruce could be made to look like a goose, he's all over it.
Come on, man. I spent an hour editing Brad and Body. I've done my part for him. No, he's right. I want to talk off court now. We like talking about this. You were at the game, Woody. I did some stats on this one, right? So freeway opening day for the Kings, 8,632 against Melbourne. Lock it in. Freeway series, attendance, 6,212. Let's call that a 2,000 drop. Obviously, we're going to bring in the Paul Smith, Dori Kadahi stuff here.
Yep.
Am I fair in comparing the two? First, and I'll sort of throw this to both of you. Like, one's opening night against Melbourne and Dellavedova. Big, big thing. But this is the freeway series with an opponent who's just an hour down the road. Why the 2,000 person drop? I had a look what else was on that night. There was a bit of BBL going on, but I think it was later in the evening. I think there was an A-League game involving some Sydney teams. Let's go to Woody first. You're in Sydney. Look, why the drop? Why the drop, man?
JC, it's just Sydney people. We're fickle. You know, it's very like we'll have a lot of people come to the first game, and then you'll see the numbers slowly drop. And then if something special comes up, you know, we might have a spike in the middle of the season. And the last game, you know, last game versus Brisbane last year, you know, we had a 10,000 crowd, right? Because everyone knew it was the last game. It's like Sydney's that city where, you know, who's got the best car, you know, who's got the best clothes, you know, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. Oh, the Kings are on. Oh, I'll go to that game, right? And they're not very knowledgeable like a Melbourne crowd or a Perth crowd about the game. And you'll find that this is the trend that follows. LaMelo Ball comes in town, you get 11,000, right? So it's just what the story's been with people from my town for the last 20 odd years.
I don't understand it. It's the Hoops capital. What's going on, man? You're the Hoops capital.
I would say Melbourne is the Hoops capital, to be fair, right?
Paul Smith apparently says Sydney's the Hoops capital. They put it on their court just to remind themselves.
AC, just like you, man, I used to go to games with my dad to watch Ken McClary and Dwayne McLean, Tim Morrissey, you know, all those guys. And you had to fight just to get a ticket in the early to mid-90s, right? And going to the entertainment center was amazing. Also, going to Qdos Bank Arena has alienated some of those city dwellers who used to come to the games and be able to go out afterwards. So that's also had an effect, I'd say. So.
Yeah, man, I've said this like a 45-minute train ride or something out there, isn't
maybe
it?
More if you're lucky. If you're lucky. I mean, I've said this for a while now. Call it the West Sydney Kings. Let's not kid around. No one from the eastern suburbs wants to go or can go. It's too far. Your stadium's in West Sydney. West Sydney Kings own that demographic. And then maybe another sudden Sydney team bumps up, but there's no stadium over that direction. But you don't think that people from, and this is to both of you, Illawarra and Sydney, you don't think people enjoyed the little tit for tat, the little spiteful words between two guys whose net worth is $288 million? You don't think people thought, I'm going to spend $100 to watch those two sit sideline and not play? I thought, what did you think of this reporting? I thought it was lame. I obviously thought it was fake. I don't think it inspired buying tickets. I just didn't get it, and nor did I enjoy it. And by the look of it, 2,000 other people didn't either. Andrew, what do you think?
Like, I don't like the beef between owners. I think that's silly. But I think Paul Smith just can't help himself. He has to insert himself into the storyline. It's like, mate, you're the owner. Just own the team and be happy with that. You don't need to be the center of the story. It drives me crazy because, you know, this happens every year. He does something stupid. He involves himself. And he's responsible for the little fracas that happened with Angus Glover. He'd spent all week firing them up. So Angus Glover, young guy, you know, wanting to show himself, you know, prove himself into the league. He's going to have that in the back of his mind. It's going to, you know, his temper is going to go off and there it goes. That's on Paul Smith, man.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I think there's certainly something to it, but I'll say this. So what do you, I don't know how you're going to respond to this one, but what do you think? What do you think? Like the whole thing?
Look, I mean, I think that like it's a bit of a beat up, right? You know, and I think, you know, it's about what the coach coming and spying on us at training and all that, right? You're speaking of, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
look,
right.
I mean, you know, it's, I'm not sure it's too, I'm with you on this, JC, right? Like, you know, I didn't like it too much, man. You know, like, let's just leave it alone. Let the guys go out there and play. It's a great rivalry, like you said. To be fair, 6,000 is not too bad for us in Sydney.
Right? It's very good point.
And let's look at something positive. Angus Glover, he's gone through injuries and whatnot, right? We spoke about him and whatnot. He didn't need to do that at the end of the game because he was having a great game. And it's just the guy who's gone through a lot of injuries and hardships over the last few years, to see him having a great start to the season and healthy. From all reports, he's a great human being. So let's just say thumbs up to Angus Glover for being out there on the court and starting the season well.
And Cook's doing it the opposite thing, coming back from an injury and being with the Kings, sort of similar story to Glover, but nowhere near as serious. But here's what I'd say. And if Paul Smith or anyone from the Kings is listening, don't worry about selling the owners. Don't worry about that. That doesn't compel people to buy a ticket. My thought is this. Someone like Woody started a podcast. He's in Sydney. I'll just ask this question. Yes or no, Woody? Have the Kings reached out to you yet and said, hey, do you want to come on in, have a cup of tea, have a biscuit, talk about it? Have they done that yet?
Definitely not.
Not yet. Well, that would be my thought, because that's a good way to start. And that's what the NBL is. Small league, build it from the ground up. You know, touch someone on the shoulder, not sort of stuff in the post. Anyway, let's jump on. What do you want to do? What where do you guys want to go? Andrew, where do you want to go?
There's somewhere I want to go, right? I've got this two directions I want to go. Which one do I pick? I want to circle back to where we had Shadowstalker with a listener feedback question. There was another piece of listener feedback we got during the week that I want to touch on.
Okay. Have you got audio feedback or a written?
No, it's just a tweet actually. So I can read that tweet.
Do it, man. Do it.
So the tweet is from Adam Westerhout. I can name it because it's on his tweet and it was tweeted to us public. He says, I've noticed a lot more different sponsorship branding of game presentation. For example, branding halftime player stats. If the NBL Pocket Pod could sponsor any part of an NBL game,
oh, wow,
what would it be? What would it be called? And why?
Woody, I've researched this. You go. All right. Andrew, you answer. Then I want Woody. If Throwback Hoops was to sponsor something. But Andrew, you go first, and then we'll go to Woody.
All right. Okay. I got so excited. This is right at my alley, right? So I got three answers. So I'm going to steal everybody's thunder, if that's okay.
Do it.
Okay. So firstly, you'd have the NBL Pocket Pass of the Day.
Oh, nice.
The obvious like name
type. Bounce pass in the paint type thing. Yep.
The Pocket Pass of the Day. There you go. Sponsored by NBL Pocket Podcast. Makes sense.
Perfect.
Second one. The spray of the day. Oh. It's the best vision of a coach going crazy. Okay. Because, you know, we love the controversy and the opportunity to move the league a little bit away from the G-rated entertainment. So having a coach's spray of the day, I think that works well for the NBL Pocket Podcast.
Tick, tick. Yep.
Okay. My favorite one. Favorite one. Joe, do you know where this is going?
No. If it's an Elam ending, but maybe. But let's go.
No. It's the NBL Pocket Podcast Cuck of the Round.
I knew it. No, why did I say that? I feel embarrassed now.
It's the player who got taken the hardest by an opponent because, you know, we love that word on this podcast.
We've been good this year so far. I think we've only said it, you know, in reference to people saying it to us, which is, we went on a spread Cuck of the Round. I like that. Well, here's mine quickly before we go to you, Woody. I'd go a segment that started maybe quarter time, three quarter time, maybe even at the end of the game, called Have I Got Something in My NBL Front Pocket for You? And it's when where a guy has totally domineered another player, very similar to Cuck of the Round, I suppose. Woody, Throwback Hoops, you can sponsor a segment. What are you doing?
Look, I mean, the game is all about the fans, right? And when you come to games and you see all these fans wearing great throwback jerseys, right?
Nice.
And the great sponsors that make these jerseys for the NBL. You know, if I see a classic jersey in the stadium and someone wearing it, let's shoot after them on the video and say throwback jersey of the day, Mitchell and Ness or whoever the brand is, you know, and shout out a fan that's wearing that jersey, you know,
to the Jumbotron.
Yeah. And I actually really think that's good. And make it part of the telecast. I think that's, and have them with the courtside reporter. I think
part of the telecast. And maybe at the start of the, each stadium can have throwback jersey of the day, a winner and a small prize for them, a free ticket to the next game or whatever. So everyone's coming out wearing rocking their fly jerseys and whatnot and trying to look good. And
I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot.
I love it. And listen, we've perhaps inspired some change at the NBL where we talked about mini matches. They've now been through put out, you know. If that segment comes up, you know it's us. That's really good. I actually really dig that. And what you should be doing, like, let's say you wore a throwback, the person who's wearing it should be then forced to do an impression on camera. That's how bad it's going. Oh.
Don't wear the Sean Marion.
All right, let's go. Where do you want to go next, guys? Andrew, you got a strong thing on this?
Well, what about the other one? I'm taking over your agenda here. You threw out a great idea. I'm just intermingling. You had the taking it to the tweets.
Okay, taking it to the tweets. All right, this is a new segment. Again, we're about bringing the fans in. Can't take full credit for this one. Trash Talk had shit takes, which was essentially stuff on Twitter that got them. But we're going to do taking it to the tweets. These are good tweets that we saw in the week and liked. I'm going to go first. I saw a tweet that I liked the look of because I like it because I was going to do it myself.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm trying to minimize and bring it up here. This one's by a guy by the name of, Jackson McDonald, I want to say. I'm trying to find it. Here it is. Jackson McDonald. Simple tweet, but a good one. What's the best dunk in the NBL's modern era? He gave three options on a tally. Creek on Daly, Oliver on Moller, Prather on Ogilvy. One word answer from you, Andrew. Which one of the three was the best?
Prather on Ogilvy.
Woody.
Oliver, man. Oliver. Yeah, he caught two bodies, baby, yeah, on my Sydney Kings.
Yeah, I'm with Woody on this one. I think Oliver, that was, he took two of them with him. He really stuffed, like, Moller concertina'd. Like, he was like a collapsible chair, man. He crunched into the center. Close, though. And all three are real close. They're Prather's real on Ogilvy is massive. No,
I
no,
love that one. I was at that game, and I felt the vibe of the crowd, which I was probably a little bit biased.
Yeah, and as far as a dunk that, like, changed the game, I mean, that one, it was demoralizing. What would you put in second? What are you going with this most recent one, or Prather?
I think BMW is not getting enough love for his dunk, man. You know, Billy McDowell wide throwing down on Tony
Fair point.
Came out of nowhere.
He's not getting enough love, man. In fact, I'm just going to go out and say right now that I prefer that dunk to Mitch Creek's dunk, man.
Ooh.
No, little guy going upstairs on a big man, throwing it down in his face, right? I prefer that one, man. And maybe I'll get berated for this.
But, oh, you will.
On Twitter, no doubt. Speaking of taking it to the tweet. Andrew, take it to the tweets. Go. Let's go to the next one.
Okay, my good tweet that I saw, it's none other than the Sky Sport Breakers.
Yeah, typical. Guaranteed, they're amazing.
You've got to follow them if you don't follow them. They're the best tweets.
Sorry to interrupt you here. Segue. It's Matt Walsh. I am 100% committed, either in part or exclusively him, because nobody has the license. Nobody. I work in this sector a little bit. Nobody has that license to say that sort of stuff, the wild stuff, the cursing, the whatever else, the petty score settling, man.
Okay.
This account is out of control. Go on.
Well, Tony, you might like this one then, because they were giving us nothing but a score update. Okay. It was a 3/4 time score update. Pretty standard stuff you'd expect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So their tweet is simply Breakers 71, Adelaide, emoji smiley face with sunglasses.
It's fine.
And that was the Adelaide score. You know why they use the emoji smiley with sunglasses?
No.
Because the Adelaide score was 69.
See, this is what I'm talking about. That is funny. That's the kind of humor I like.
I couldn't believe it.
It's got to be Matt Walsh. No young intern social media is doing that. No way. Great,
gold.
Good tweet.
Gold.
Woody, take it to the tweets.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Yeah, that's Matt Walsh, right?
It's his humor. It's him.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
And until they have put a photo up on socials of their social team with a thing of verifying it, I'm coming at Matt Walsh. I'm telling you now. Tim, Woody, what, you had a tweet you liked?
Yeah. So look, I mean, something a little bit close to my heart, which I want to speak about, right? And recently in the week, WNBA player Tiffany Mitchell, who plays as an import in the WNBL right now, experienced some racial discrimination because of her hair, right? And Mitchell took to Twitter to air her unfortunate story. She said she was told by league officials she cannot play until she ties her braids or wears them into a bun, you know? And that's a negative thing, sure, but a positive thing is, upon learning this, Patty Mills, you know, he comes out, you know, what a legend he is, in support of Mitchell. And he says, must read, no one should ever be singled out because of their color, origin, or ethnicity. It is unacceptable. I'm sorry you had to experience this, Tiffany Mitchell. Sending lots of loves and good vibes your way. And then in response to that, Tiffany Mitchell said, Patty, much love. Really appreciate you reaching out and support, and the support means a lot. Thank you. And I mean, growing up as a brown man, as an ethnic man in the early 90s in Australia, it wasn't always easy for me. So this is something that's close to my heart, man. If you want to wear your hair a certain way, or you want to, you know, express yourself because that's what your culture epitomizes, then you should be allowed to do it. I don't see anyone saying to you know, Tajhia McCall or Keanu Pinder that they need to tie their braids up or put them in a bun or anything like that, right? And I just think that WNBL got it wrong here. And we're in a situation in society right now where this is extremely prevalent, you know, equality and things like that. And I was just disappointed with the way the WNBL handled this. And it doesn't reflect great on us, you know, and it's sad to say that 30 years ago these things were happening, but they're still happening now. So I'm just going to say that. That's it.
No, I like it. And I've heard Matt Scriven since come out and say, yeah, he's either said we're reassessing it, or they've totally put that in the bin already. So quick action from Scriven, fingers crossed.
Yeah. I think they did chuck that rule in the bin. And it was out of sync with the FIBA rules anyway, I think. So it's just, how that got through. And then how they decided to actually try to enforce it as well, just sort of the mind boggles.
Bit out of touch.
Let's hope we can make some positive change.
Definitely. We've taken it to the tweets. We're going off the Doobie Brothers here. They had a song called Taking It to the Streets. So we've taken it to the tweets. Now a different Doobie Brothers song, What a Fool Believes. So these are bad tweets, stuff on the line we didn't like.
All right, all right. So my one is, look, it's Corey Homicide Williams, I'm afraid. He called out Lamar in a video, right? But half his video was muted. It was one of his video tweets. He's paying out on Lamar Patterson in mute. Now, come on, man. Just delete it and re-record. Try again. Otherwise, you can't pay on somebody. You yourself are making a mistake as you pay
out
people
saying?
Making mistakes.
I didn't catch it.
To be honest, I kind of didn't listen to the whole thing.
No problem.
It was on mute.
Man, take it to the bad tweets, Woody. What did you think?
Look, I mean, the one about Kyle Adnan and Dean Vickerman sort of speaking in that huddle about, he's the, can I swear on here?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, he's the shittiest little defender in the league or whatever. I don't mind that. I don't mind a little bit of passion, right? You shouldn't be berated for doing that. Vickerman annoys me sometimes. I know he does annoy you too, JC.
Oh, yeah.
But, just don't have to be too harsh on him. In the heat of battle, sometimes coaches are going to say some things to their players to really motivate them. And Caleb Agata was struggling at the time. And he's kind of like, get your shit going, man. And he said that. I know Kyle didn't take it too favorably, but... At the same point, sometimes you say things in the heat of battle that you can't take him too personally. So I don't think people should berate him for that. Yeah.
I'll ask this question. Vickerman, he said it, and I agree with you totally, Woody. It was a way to psych up his player. But did he have a point? Who of the smaller guard defenders? I'm just thinking around the league, and I'm like, yeah, Adam's down there. He if you're a bigger player, you should put your back into him to make a play at the hoop.
Hey, JC, I never said he didn't have a point, bro. Did I? Never said he didn't have a point, bro.
All right. Here's my bad tweet. And this one is, it's by Ian Ragamuffin. This was interesting. So, and this is one for Woody and other starting up podcasters. I think I'm, listen, most of the time I'm on Twitter, people, if you're listening out there, it's because I'm mostly in the toilet. In the bathroom, filling in some sort of time. Man, Twitter is not a huge, doesn't make you any money. The day the Pocket Podcast Twitter account got 1,000 views, nothing happened. No extra money came in, no notoriety. It's been nothing. So I put up some tweet about Jock Landau, and I was like, geez, Jock Landau shouldn't be getting cut in his NBA career. You know what I mean? Get down to the G League. I know he's come back from COVID, a few other things, but he was a good player in Europe, and he should be part of that rotation. Should have been part of it from day one. It's just not, I don't know what's going on over there. It's just not meshing. But Ian was kind of like, he wrote here, I'm sorry, I need to stop following you. Your takes are often terrible, but I can't help but respond. And I had to reply. I was like, listen, a follow is not currency. I see people on Twitter like, oh, this person blocked me or da 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 or whatever. It's like, Twitter is totally, to me anyway, totally meaningless. Not totally meaningless, almost next to nothing. So my advice is to Woody and people starting in podcasting, and you got to kind of push your brand through it a bit. Don't be deterred, and people out there, don't think that your follow is currency. It's not worth a damn. It's not worth a damn thing. Bless your hearts. So Ian, good to have the chats with you, but didn't quite.
And despite Joe just absolutely paying out on Twitter at this point, we're going to keep this segment. Tweets. So I like it.
We like it for this. Yeah, we
like it. Taking it to the tweets. I love this segment, and I'm looking forward to what we see through the rest of the season.
And just like Kyle Adnan shouldn't take shit personally, neither should we, right?
Woody, there you go. Woody nut. Let's go back to some round two stuff. Let's talk about the throwdown. Massive game from Chi. I've been critical of his defensively. He looked better. He could score it. He had a great game. I guess I'll throw this question. Chi, good game, or we still want to see more? Let's go to AC. What do you think?
Oh, mate, what more do you want to see? The guy was a beast. just like JLA thought he had buckets, you know, because he usually gets buckets. She was having none of it. Just get that out of there. No, he was phenomenal.
Woody?
I'm just going to tune in every week to watch him play, man. He's worth the price of admission, let's say. If you know, if you're going in to watch him live, I can't wait for Southeastman to come down. I can go watch him live. Just quietly, JLA got 7 blocks as well, didn't he? Right? They both got 7 blocks. So nice to see JLA getting that rocket up his ass and playing a bit of defense after that start to the game, right? So, yeah.
I mean, we were talking about Southeast Melbourne. I thought Creek was real good. Chi, obviously, very good. Brokoff had a better game, looking at the stats anyway. Kyle Adnan was pretty big, shittiest defender, but did well. Let's go with the Creek. All right, so Creek dunks on Delhi. Spectacular play. Yep. Peatling. Let's go with Woody first. Peatling, in or out? Did you think it was a good idea, a bad idea? Does anyone remember the time of what the score and the time of play was when it happened, Woody?
Yeah, I think they were up by about just double digits at the time, right? And Melbourne came back and closed that gap. Am I wrong in saying that, AC, right?
So, yeah, vaguely familiar. It's all a blur at this point. I've watched that dunk on the loop so many times. I should be able to remember the score, but yeah. Vaguely correct.
I grew up loving Sean Kemp, man. You know, him dunking on Chris Gatling and shooting at him and, you know, like doing whatever. I don't mind a little bit of bravado in our league, man. But, you know, Mitch Creek wasn't too bad, man. He was just so happy. He looked down for a second. He was just celebrating a little bit. And I understand what Peatling was doing, trying to back up his teammate and whatnot. And even Delhi said after the game, look, I didn't mind, man. It was a great dunk. And, you know, I'm going to go up. That's in my nature, man. I don't care about being dunked on. But, maybe you can go and do that, back up your teammate, but getting up in his face and maybe talking a bit of shit or something without actually, you know, getting into that physical contact, which resulted in you know, everyone coming together in a bit of a brawl and people jumping off the bench. I think that could have been avoided. You know, you can still show passion and support for your teammate without, you know, doing that. So
if Delhi doesn't jump to try and block that, it's not a highlight dunk, right? It's just an impressive open court dunk, right? And you go, oh yeah, cool, good job. Delhi tried to play defense, which made the whole experience so much better. So thank you, Matthew Dellavedova, taking the hit. I'm with you, Woody, as well. I didn't ever see taunting in that display. To me, that was just like pumped. Like, yeah, all right. Mm. And then Peatling came in. Now, it does surprise me how quickly Mitch Creek, like, he went down like a sack of spuds. He's a big dude, but he went down pretty fast. And then he just undertakered right back up and was ready to box on.
Yeah. Andrew, you go.
No, go ahead.
Well, I heard people like Damon Lowry was one, and I spoke to Body about this earlier today. Body Nodge of Brad and Body podcast. Definitely listen to that. And this to me wasn't about Creek, because clearly he wasn't standing over Dellavedova. This was a Peatling Creek relationship. If you remember, Andrew, actually earlier in the game, Creek actually plowed through Peatling. And that sort of started things in that game. But you might remember in the semi-final, and sorry for the language warning up ahead, but Peatling was the one who Creek had made the big play on and said, see you in game 3, motherfucker. That was that guy.
Right.
So they have a relationship. not a good one. They don't like each other personally. So this was not, I thought Peatling was talking BS when he's like, oh, you know, I was standing up for a teammate. I was like, nah, man, your team was coming back. You don't like Creek. He just had a highlight play. You're a footnote in the story. And he laid a shoulder, and I don't have a problem with doing it, but kind of killed the momentum and kind of, you know, I mean, you lost, so that's too bad. But that was it. Chi, going back to what we're saying about Joe Chi, I just worry about him in pick and roll coverage. This game is pick and roll coverage. Melbourne don't have the guys to exploit it. I want to see what happens when he comes to Perth and he's switching out on Cotton and Law and others. And
I'm worried about when he comes to Perth, mate. He's going to feast down low. Who's going to stop him?
Man, team defense. I want to see more. He's had one average game, one good game. Oh, I'm still, everyone loves this guy and people want him to do well because of the China thing, and I totally get it. But I'm still like, okay, I think there's ways you could really exploit him on the floor, but we'll see. We'll see. I want to see some more.
Well, as Liam said on my show quickly, JC, they're stacked, you know, and a guy like Dane Pinot is there. So when the matchups are favorable, you can pull Joji out of the game and bring a guy like Dane Pinot into the game. And they definitely can, you know, throw a different perspective at opposition. So having a guy like Dane Pinot backing up Joji, it's good for the Southeast Melbourne team, right? So, yeah.
Fair enough. Cairns, Tasmania. We're going to touch on this briefly. Both teams shot 30%, bunch of turnovers. Did either of you watch it? Have you got any comment?
I want my life back.
Yeah, you watched it, didn't you? You watched the whole thing. What were you thinking?
It was like punishment. Yeah, basketball punishment. Why was I watching that game? I don't know. It was terrible. It was clearly, it was like, these are the bottom two teams. Like, done. Yeah. There's like, they're a different league. Following all the other games we got this round. What a waste of time.
Isn't this sad? Like, remember when Cairns were amazing television? Remember when they were amazing basketball product? And now they're unwatchable. Never were they had two or three games that have just been the absolute doldrums of the round.
And I'm curious with Woody, like, you saw Adam Ford in Sydney last year. I've seen him in Perth as an assistant. Adam Ford, I'm out on him. I don't think he can coach.
Oh, wow.
I actually had him as coach of the year this year because I thought he'd really bring a lot out of that team, right? I made the case.
Listen, I'm sorry to interrupt your buddy, but I was the same way. I was like, maybe this guy will get up there and fire him up. It looks like a disaster early on, but sorry, Woody, to interrupt. Go on.
I like his attitude and whatnot, but yeah, I'm starting to get that vibe that my I know you don't like hot takes, but my hot take was Adam Ford would be coach of the year this year. Keanu Pinder is someone I have a relationship with, and I speak to him, often, and I thought that, Adam Ford being a junior coach would help him and help some of these younger guys like Kuat Noi and stuff like, develop. I'm kind of with you on that. But once again, like we said about Coach Buford, let's give him a bit of time. It's been a few games.
Yeah.
When you got guys like Jared Kenny playing 26 minutes,
There's fair not point. The talent there, is there? Like it's
You know what I mean? I think a guy like Cam Bester, he was signed so late by Adelaide, right? A team like Cairns could have gone after a guy like Cam Bester, but didn't. So I don't know if they have enough. Tajir McColl, man, the guy looks awesome, man.
He's great.
I'm a fan of his, man. And Nathan Jawai should be playing a bit more. He's only got 8 minutes, 6 minutes. Now, give the big dog a little bit more court time, and let's see if the veteran can contribute to that team, right? So
this might be a good time to bring up Magne. You want to talk about Magne, Woody? Let's hear it. I want to hear what you got to say, and I'll see if I got a reply.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm just a bit concerned about him. I mean, what did he have? 5 points and 7 rebounds or something like that, or 7 points and 5 rebounds across the two games, right? And I know Scott Roth said that he's about 3-4 weeks away, and he's not fit yet. And actually, you might have heard Liam's interview with Scott Roth, and when he signed Will Magne, Will Magne's like, get me a good point guard, and so he got him Josh Maget. And I don't know, man. And I think that, like, I think we talked offline, Andrew, about how he's had a 3/4 of a good season with Brisbane, that and they weren't even a playoff team. And since then, he hasn't really shown. There's no more two-way Magne. Let's say that, right? So as your boy Corey Homicide Williams said, so I think it's about time he repaid the faith. Whether it takes 3 to 4 weeks or not, if Scott Roth says that, so be it. But, that team needs him. Yeah.
Andrew. I'm going to talk to you.
Come on.
I'm in on Magne. I'm in. I'm pushing my, because he is, I get sort of Harry Froehling vibes. Remember when Harry Froehling had that good season, went away to the NBA, came back heartbroken. Oh, I'm just not the level. Magne's had that, but the reason why Magne's not over there is not to do with his play. It's more to do with backdoor shenanigans between Mavericks and Pelicans, as I understand it, and an injury he got over there. Came back, horror year coming back. Brisbane did poorly on him. And then Perth, and that was not a great situation for him. Kind of hurt, rehabbing. My understanding is he went to Perth and basically paid his way onto that team, where they paid him a salary, but it was going to Brisbane. And basically didn't get any money for the rest of that Wildcat season as he sort of rehabbed / trained. So I don't think his body's fully right. These big guys take a while, but no, I'm in on Magne, man. You don't lose it at that age. The injury wasn't too bad. I don't know what it was, but it was an ankle something. I think he's just hurt, and I think he's a good player, and I'm going to give him time till a quarter of the season. So 7 games in, he's already had a couple. I'm going to give him a bit more of a chance, but I hear what you're saying, Woody. He should be good.
The talent is definitely there, but I'm getting him out of my fantasy team this week. That's for sure.
I am also getting him out of fair play. I thought I brought him into mine thinking, oh yeah, we'll see big minutes and whatever.
You can swap him with Zimmerman.
I like Stephen.
Speaking of effective big men, Zimmerman, first import gone.
Oh, even ahead
you
of
think
the
so?
Other.
You think so?
He's hopeless. He's like 7 foot tall, can't make a layup.
Yeah, he's struggling a bit.
His preseason was okay though, right? So
I just feel sorry for Cairns people that have gone from Cam Oliver to Zimmerman. It's like, wow, Cairns, what a letdown.
Cole Aldrich. That's the guy that Steven Zimmerman reminds me of.
I like
right?
that. So, yeah. But I mean, they have gone from semi-final and pushing the Wildcats to the brink. That's the Wildcats in Perth and almost making a grand final to bottom. Sandwiched between another bottom season with Melo Trimble. Really weird.
Speaking of Perth joke, I think it's the last game of the round.
Yep, just do it. Sorry, we're belaboring it.
Perth-Brisbane double overtime. Great game all around. But I've done some stats, mate.
Do it, man.
Don't usually do stats, but I've done some stats. I've got worries about Bryce Cotton.
Oh, right.
I just took a look at his breakdowns over the three games he's played, his shooting percentages in particular. Versus Adelaide, first game, he was 4 of 15 from the field, 26%, 2 of 5 at 40%, 3 points. Mm-hmm. Versus Cairns, 11 of 27 at 40%, 6 of 17, 3s, 35%. And then against Brisbane, 5 of 23, 21%, and 3 of 16, 18% from threes. Wow. Now, that is volume shooting, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
Like 31% overall, 31% from the field and 29% 3-point shooting. Wow. That's not getting done.
Well, may I ask you, they're great stats. What are you putting it down to?
They're terrible stats.
Why? They're terrible stats. Good stats by you.
Thanks, man.
What do you put it down to? Why is that? Why are they the numbers that they are?
Oh, I think it's a new offense. It's the volume of attempts has gone way up under the old under the old Gleason system. But I think this strikes me as a bit of a touch of anxiety about some of the shots he's taking. They're not always coming in part of the flow. It's like he's forcing it a little bit. And I think he's almost inside his own head would be my take on it, in that he's just overthinking it now and he's trying to shoot himself out of a slump.
Woody, what do you think?
He's an all-time legend. And, you know, he suffered that injury last year. And, you know, a lot of people, including Corey Homicide Williams, have doubted him in the past, right? So I just think that he'll figure it out, man. He'll figure it out, right?
Listen, guys, I got worries about work. I got worries about relationships. I don't worry about Bryce Cotton. And those numbers are what they are, and I agree with that. I should just stat it myself. Perth this season, 38 three-point attempts per game. That's first in the league. They lead the league in three-point attempts. Last season, they sat below middle at 28. So they're taking 10 more threes a game. That's not inconsequential. And that's actually deliberate on their part by Morrison. He's got a bit of a G League offense going on or the bare bones of it. Way too perimeter oriented. And also I think more than being perimeter oriented, that's actually fine. They got a lot of perimeter players. I think they're too egalitarian. The ball is, before Gleason had the most cynical offense in the world, it was like a pyramid. Get the ball to Cotton. Like, just if he comes off a screen, get it to him. The rest of you four guys, your pawns, he's the queen, king, sorry. Get him the ball at every opportunity. It's changed. Now it's, you know, think for yourselves and whatever else. And I think the problem comes down to two things. Firstly, I think, Andrew, if you went back, looked at those numbers coinciding with last season where Cotton played without Mitch Norton, I think you'd see a relative crossover there where he's looking for other people. He's got to take a few more dribbles than he normally would have to get his shot off. He's normally a guy who likes to catch it, make one or two and pull up. In that game, I saw him, he was reaching a little bit, going into the fourth and fifth dribble. The numbers decrease when you have to do that. So, and that's my worry with this team. Gleason ran a Gleason system and got Gleason players. Now Scott Morrison's come in, taken on these guys who were system guys, and now he's saying, think for yourselves. And this might sound really rude to those players, but Mitch Norton's one of them. I'll be dying to see how he goes with this team. But Wagstaff, at his age, you're going to now tell him, instead of just being a set of pick, flop here, jump this shot, you know, real mechanical player, now he's got to start thinking a lot more on the fly. I saw a lot of turnovers from him where I was like, oh, this is a player who a lot's been put on his plate. And, you know, Majuk, the same thing. Like, it's a huge departure. But and that's why I think the numbers are down, because Cotton's had to reach a bit more. And that would be my rationale on it. But Woody, Wildcats, like, you still have them in the four.
I do.
And Frazier's not playing as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Sorry, Woody, you go.
I think you mentioned earlier in the show a little bit about Gleason and Clint Steindl and some of that action that he'd run for Clint Steindl to get him, you know, that JJ Redick, Kyle Korver type, you know, Clay Thompson type action to get him open for catch and shoots, right? I think that that's missing a little bit. And we're not talking enough about, we can see how much they're missing Gleason and what he used to run previously, right? We saw a lot of one-on-one play, get the guys the ball and let them go and get a bucket sort of thing, right? So, and to be fair, not Scott Roth, what's his name? Scott Morrison. My apologies, Skirmo. And then, you know, he owned that at the press conference. I've got to do a better job of trying to get these guys in better positions to succeed. So, once again, like we spoke about Adam Ford and Coach Buford, let's give Skirmo a little bit of an opportunity to try and implement his, you know, his footprint on this team as well.
And one thing else I want to say as well, I was shocked to see at the end of the game, Majuk closing it out. I think they had Majuk, Travers, Law, Cotton, Wagstaff. And I was like, that's just, and you talk about, like Majuk, you can leave, you know, unless he's in the paint. So on pick and roll action, you just saw Cotton under a little bit more trouble because they could do a bit more and blitz, all that sort of technical crap. But I just feel like the Wildcat staple, and indeed an NBL staple, has been five guys on the floor, all who can kind of stretch it. Mooney was a bit different, but still had a bit of decent outside shot. But when you got Majuk out there to close, I was like, oh, that we haven't seen that over on the West Coast for a long time. So it'd be interesting to see. Keep your eye on Majuk, whether he closes out games in the future.
Keep your eye on Thon Maker, man, as well, right?
Well, have you guys seen this? This is a quick departure, but the Breakers have put out this little tease about, news coming tomorrow, NBA related.
Yeah,
anyone see that on Twitter?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't think it's Maker.
Well, just Thon McCormick, does he move the needle for anyone? Like, I haven't seen this guy playing.
I haven't seen him since
he's a total mystique.
No, not since the Philippines series when he was Kung Fu.
He's putting up 2.8 points, 2.1 rebounds, or something ridiculously poor in the Israel League, and he got cut, right? So, but I mean, he'll be a great addition to some Australian team if he does come back home, I'd say, right? He's got high pedigree. I'm sure someone will enjoy his services, right? So
that's true. And he's a body, apparently can play. So, but if he comes here and doesn't do well, it's like, dude, you've flamed out in every league you've been with. Like, might be time to join a social team because I hate guys who survive on reputation. Him, Deng Adel.
Deng Adel, I was about to say, right?
Like, come on, guys. Like, you've been in boomers' camps, for heaven's sake. You know?
Can I just wrap up?
Return on investment. Sorry.
Can I just wrap up the Brisbane-Perth situation?
Yeah, we're not giving enough credit to the Bullets. We are not.
Yeah. We're not giving enough credit to the Bullets, to James Duncan, the smoothest coach in the league. And
he is smooth.
He had the power to unlock Lamar Patterson. Dan Shamir couldn't do it. He's found the secret formula to get Lamar Patterson playing. Back at all-star level.
Sydney Kings alumni. What do you expect, man? You know? And and Robert Franks is a freaking beast. All right? Let's just say that, right?
Yeah,
he's a beast, right?
Yeah.
I quite like their team to finish fifth, don't you? Does everyone?
It was the first time in about 4 years that I'd watched a Brisbane team play and thought, they aren't boring.
No, they're not boring.
No, I'll say that, might not. They're not.
That's a big, big tick in the box from my point of view.
Sobey, Patterson, Franks with a nice Drimmick kind of hurts him a bit because they don't have good depth, but you know, Kadee very rarely makes a mistake, doesn't give you a lot, doesn't give you a lot of highlights, but doesn't take away anything.
Yep.
They're not bad, are they? If Harrison can kind of hang around, they but you know, are they good again? I'll ask this question, we'll go with Woody first. Are they top four? I think because New Zealand, I had in my top four, I'm very doubtful. I don't know.
I agree with AC. They're probably, both of you guys agree around fifth or sixth, right? You know, I've got Southeast Melbourne, Illawarra, Sydney, and Perth. Isaiah Moss is going to help them, man. Had a great year in the NZBL last year, and you can shoot the lights out. And he's a unsung, underrated import that's currently suffering hamstring injury. So when he comes back, he's going to help them.
With Brisbane, bottom line, I just can't give them fourth over Sydney or the other teams you mentioned, Woody, especially considering they had Magne and Hodgson in their starting lineup. Now, Magne's having a slow start, but they lost those two really over a disagreement over about $3,000 to $5,000 of an NBA buyout, as I understand it. Not good business, Bullets. Not good business. So that's neither here nor there. Anything else from that Brisbane game, Andrew?
No, great game. Looking forward to seeing it all play out again.
Yeah, right.
All right, moving on. Let's look ahead.
to round three. We're not going to go through each game. People, they're on the NBL app. You're smart people. We trust the fans. You read them. You make your own tips or whatever. Oh, but
No. Whoa, hold on.
You go, Andrew. You go. I know what you're going to say. Do it.
You make your own tips, but you make them on the NBL Pocket Podcast tipping competition.
Do it. The link is somewhere on a... Maybe pin that tweet of yours, and
I know. It's footytips.com.au/comp/MBLP.
Robbie and I joined this morning.
If you're late to the party, who cares? It's about bragging rights round to round.
Yeah. Some joker called Go Those Roosters is currently in first place. That sounds like a New South Wales reference. I don't really get it.
It must be. It's Sydney Roosters, yeah.
Joe, you're in third. I'm coming fifth.
I had a horrible round.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. That's what I'm saying. There is no... Nobody's going to get 100% in this tipping competition. It's too hard. Yeah. NBL's too hard to tip.
Speaking of tips, let's jump on round three. We're not going to go through each game. We're just going to talk about what we're most excited to see or talking points. I'm going to go first. All right. Melbourne and New Zealand both played two games this round. Melbourne, I think, play their first game against Sydney. New Zealand play their first game against the Hawks. And then they meet each other on the second of that back-to-back for them. My question to you both, and we'll start with Andrew as a reply. Are they both going to be without a win when they play each other? And if they are both without a win when they meet, who's going to break or snap the skid, Andrew Kane?
Oh, geez. See, I've already submitted my tips, so I should have an answer ready to go. I can't remember what I tipped. Look, just for the sake of the argument, I'm going to say they're both going to be winless because it makes for a more fun story.
Melbourne are not beating Sydney. You would agree, Woody, as well? You'd agree?
I think I'd tip Sydney.
Of course. I agree with my homeboy AC, man.
Hawks at home, New Zealand are not a prayer.
Yeah, okay.
You were saying, Andrew?
Yeah, so who's going to win? Look, I'm going to say Breakers take it. I don't like Melbourne. I just don't.
And neither.
They seem to be, they're playing okay, and they're getting some results. I just don't like them.
I'm actually going to go with Andrew as well. I mean, the Breakers have showed, some positive signs over the last, little bit. The two games they lost in round two, man, they really showed some fight. So hopefully they get, I think Thomas Abercrombie is potentially going to be back and Jeremiah Martin's going to be back as well. So they're going to have reinforcements. And I think that's what they were missing against Adelaide. If they had Jeremiah Martin or Thomas Abercrombie in that Adelaide game, then, as you said, JC, they wouldn't have run out of steam, and they would have taken that W. So I'm going to agree with AC and say New Zealand is going to get that W.
Here's my worry: Melbourne are not traveling. Melbourne hosts Sydney, and then they host New Zealand. Whereas New Zealand, not a huge travel, but they got to go up to Illawarra. They got to come back. They're on the second of a back-to-back, and they're already injury depleted. Whereas Melbourne may just have Golding. My heart tells me New Zealand are a better team. But I haven't decided yet. I'm going to punk out and not give an answer. But I'm leaning towards Melbourne, not because they're a better team, but because the schedule. And New Zealand, love them to death. Great team. Very fun. Besson, the whole lot of it. But I just think that's really tough to do on the back of back with the injuries they've got if they don't get someone back. So I'm actually going to wait to put in my tip to see who's healthy for New Zealand. Coming into this round. By the way, I put out a tweet a little while ago. I'm going to toot my own horn on this one. Besson, he had that big game, hit a bunch of shots. And I was like, Besson, most of his shots were all net tonight, but apparently he can really go off the glass left and right bank. He's French.
I get it.
Well, today, Corey, on the overtime show, NBL overtime, he made a comparison with Hugo Besson and Nando Di Colo. And I really like that, man.
That is fair. Yeah.
This kid, he's got all those intangibles that Di Colo brought to the table when he's at San Antonio early. He's got a great upside. And I think his draft stock is going to rise. And one more thing, JC, you came on my show, you, me and Robbie, we all talking on Throwback Hoops about how Delhi is cooked and whatnot. He showed something in that last game, didn't he?
Fair play. Yeah. I'm glad you brought me out on this one. Yeah.
Well said, Woody. Yeah. Call him out. Call him out. Cause
you take a swing at me, Woody, you better not miss. I got a reply for you. Go on. Sorry. You were saying.
Yeah. I didn't mean it in a bad way, but I think even myself, I said he'd be a downgrade on me.
I said, what was the word I used? And I stand by it.
Disaster.
I stand by it.
Homie, that's the word you use, right?
Disaster. Yeah. And I stand by it for two reasons. One, still lost the game. Put up all the stats you want, still lost. And then secondly,
Man, he's taken up three quarters of the salary cap. Can't have it. You could have two Hobsons for that amount of money. So no, I stand by every damn word I've said. They've looked thin in that roster, and that doesn't change a thing. But Woody, I appreciate you very much. Well, we'll see how he goes next week. Let's see how he goes on these two back-to-backs at 33. And
Joe, I got a question for round three.
Man, give me your question, AC.
Okay, so if Perth don't win both games this round, ooh, and with the WA borders now opening up, so we've got...
February 5th,
Yep, so we got the opportunity for import changes potentially. You know, you can actually get players in and out. Is Frazier going to be on the chopping block?
It's the Wildcats, man. No import is safe except Carton. If he's not healthy and they don't win both.
Vic Law is very safe, all right?
Oh, Vic Law's safe. But yeah, that's true. Vic Law's safe. But, you know, these are the Wildcats. They will do what needs to be done. That winning comes first. If it's the Wildcats, we all know. I think they'd be looking already. They need on-court product. This is the best part of their schedule. They shouldn't drop a single game in their first couple. They already have dropped one. If they lose to Tasmania, dearie me.
Yeah. Woody, what do you reckon?
Good question. I mean, Woody, with Hodgson and Majuk, both of them, you know, their fitness is never going to be guaranteed, right? I was really surprised they went with a guy like Frazier and maybe not brought back a Plumlee or another big man out there in the market. So I think... to fit the needs of their, and you saw Brisbane just out rebound them at the end there. So I think that maybe getting a big man might be better for them. But I mean, Frazier hasn't had an opportunity yet. So, and I'll go back.
And you see Blanchard came back and had a great game, first game back. You think, well, where's room for another wing guy?
The thing is, the reason why I like Frazier is this, and this might not, this will bristle Wildcat fans, but Mitch Norton. Are you a system guy under Gleeson? He got paid well. Are you a system guy under Gleeson? Or are you going to be able to strike out and be a thinking, push the play, move the ball, scoring point guard under Scott Morrison? That is going to be, it's going to be critical for them, and it's obviously going to be critical for him. I can't wait to really examine Mitch Norton. I think he'll be fine, but if he's not, there's Frazier to go with a Cotton, Frazier, Blanchfield, Vic Law, Travers lineup. I'm waiting to see when we see that to close, that smaller lineup with Travers / Vic Law playing the bigs. I think that's the natural progression for them, but they haven't done it thus far. Scott Morrison likes the big guys, but on him, great presser. You brought it up, Woody. Great presser from him as he was him and Dan Shamira competing for most thoughtful and honest
James
answers
Duncan.
In the presser. James Duncan, I haven't seen him, mate. Is he good?
I'm all in on James Duncan now.
Really? I didn't see him. What did he say?
I'm just impressed with him. He's just a very eloquent gentleman. I like him. I like him a lot.
Guys, we're going to... Woody, for round three, what are we looking forward
to? Look, man, I'm just looking forward to my Sydney Kings potentially getting our guys on the court, right? You know, I'm not sure what's happening with Jalen Adams. I hear Jordan Hunter might be back and fit to play this week. I don't know what even went. I mean, the NBL is not really great with releasing what's happening with injuries, right, as we know. So I hope RJ Hunter comes back. I just don't think that we've been able to see our guys fully fit with our full roster yet, you know. So we got that game against Melbourne on Thursday night. I'm actually traveling to Melbourne on Friday night, so I'm just going to miss the game. But I'll watch it on TV, and hopefully we get close to our full roster together, if not our full roster, and see what we can do it with everyone available.
Do you think they're winning both games? They've got a doubleheader doubleheader this round. The South Melbourne first, Southeast Melbourne. They're getting both.
I think they're getting both, right?
Even the Phoenix one on a back to back.
I mean, I've got to say that, man, even if I don't really believe it, right? I'm not, I mean, you know, I got to be
Sydney Kings.
I got
to
be
listen to me. Listen to me, Sydney Kings. Yeah. Woody is top to bottom, West Sydney and Sydney itself, blue chip. Get this guy to host like Hoops Capital or something. It'd be brilliant. Why not? That's what I say. Now that you've come on here, you're blacklisted though. Let's go. That's it for round three. Looking ahead, let's just go random thoughts and then we'll get out of here. I want to ask you, Andrew, you're a tech guy. The personalized channels. We got a chance to look at this. The NBL sent it to us in the preseason. I didn't get it. I sent an email back saying, I'm so sorry. I'm not the guy to ask about this stuff. I'm not hugely technical minded. I like a curated experience where people give it to me.
Yep.
I didn't get it. I noted some functional things. On the whole, I thought it was good. It just wasn't for me, and I couldn't put myself in the mind of someone who would enjoy it. What do you think of it?
And its I think potential. I think it's a really good innovation. I like the idea of it, and the idea of sort of building your little menu of stats. You can choose who you want to see and what plays you want to see. It's kind of wasted on me because I watch so much of the games. I watch more of the games anyway, so I kind of don't. I think, what do I want to see? I don't really know. So, probably not for me. But I'll tell you what, it's a great feature. And this is kind of like leveraging, they've been investing in a lot of automated highlight systems over the last few years. And it's been a bit crappy. And I think maybe this is the payback. You start to get this kind of stuff where you can build your own YouTube highlights.
Do you use it, Woody? Do you use this personalized channel?
No, I don't.
I think it's for younger kids. Like, this is skewing young. And actually Guy Neville put out a tweet earlier in the week about how the number of people following the NBL on TikTok has, which they've only been on for a year or so, has now surpassed the number they've got on Twitter, which is an older audience. So they've obviously seen that maybe this is something that engages younger people. I don't doubt that it does. I bet people like that sort of control. I just want to know, can people like put up their channel and be like, oh, it's Woody V's channel. This is my stuff, da, 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 and you can kind of clip your own highlights. I'm going to investigate some more, but people out there, fans, if you use it, voice record yourself, send it in. We'll have a chat.
JC, I do have my own TikTok channel, and I post like, you know, stuff.
I don't have TikTok, but
jerseys I have and at the game, and like, you know, I get hundreds and hundreds of views, man. It's ridiculous, right? Really? Like, so TikTok's a good medium to tap into some of that younger generation. And you get a bit more exposure. So
can you just promo our show for us? I'm not on TikTok either. I can't be bothered.
Absolutely.
I'm too old for that. But if you could just give us a shout at NBL Pocket Podcast, tell them to, you know.
I'll do it. I'll make a video just about it that I'm on this show right
I'll
now.
I'll never see it. So you can say, yeah, I did it. Oh, whatever.
I'll send you the video, AC. I'll send you the TikTok video, right?
Yeah. All right. Break it up. Moving on from personal. You guys got any random thoughts or stuff on the ramp? Or going forward or the NBL in general?
No, I've got nothing off the top of my head. I've vented already.
Oh, I mean, I'm just enjoying the season. It's good that, you know, things are competitive in this league and it's getting the exposure it deserves. So I'm just going to keep watching as many games as I can, just like AC, and then taking it all in. So
One thing. I've been absent from press conferences over the last the opening.
Same. Conference. I haven't had the chance to
I
get
just
in.
Haven't
there.
Had the chance.
By the way, all three of us are media accredited, right? Sorry to interrupt you, Andrew. Yeah, we're all media accredited. Yeah,
we are.
Yeah. So we've got to get in there.
Do the next one or something. Yeah, sorry, Andrew. You were saying?
No, that's all. So I've just we got to. I'd like to get our involvement cranked up on that side of things as well.
Yeah. And tweet at us. If we're going into the press conference, oh, I want to ask this. Well, I don't know, shame. I'll ask anything. I'm looking forward to asking Dan Shamir about Patterson and saying something like, he left. Why do you suppose it's working over there in Brisbane and not so much in New Zealand? What's the difference? But that's it. I also want to say one thing. If you read Body's article, I think we're all fans of Body on this one. Read his article. He kind of had a go at Dwayne Russell in the commentary. And Body and I go back and forth on this where I'm like, I like Dwayne. I think he's got a good voice for it. He's not the most knowledgeable basketball person, but I don't think he pretends to be. One thing happened in the game, the Sydney Illawarra game. The person Sean Bruce was defending was about to make a backwards cut, a backdoor cut and go to the top. And someone in the commentary said, Sean Bruce was thinking he was going to do a flex cut there, but then he went to the top. And I was like, I don't know what a flex cut is. I vaguely know what a flex cut is. Most fans aren't going to know what that is. You know, so that's where Dwayne Russell kind of would, or people like him would be a little bit more approachable, I guess is the word I'd use. But that'd be my one thing in the commentary. Like, really, no problem saying flex cut, but then you've got to say, oh, he was looking for the flex cut there, which is this, by the way, but this happened. Da, da, da. It was a little too like basketballs in a circle in the commentary. And I don't know who the commentator was. It's not a knock on them. It's a hard gig to do it, you know, live and on camera. But that was one where I was like, oh, if you're an average fan watching, you don't know what that is. You feel like a dumbass and that wouldn't feel good. What do you guys think about Dwayne commentary in the presentation? AC?
I don't think he's not the greatest basketball commentator ever, but the more I listen to it, the more I appreciate what he does bring to the table. And he is really able to convey enthusiasm, excitement, and sort of the the energy attached to the game. And especially given that they're not there, they're watching it on a screen. I think he does a really good job of that, of just getting the energy levels up and keeping them up. And I appreciate him a lot. He's not the best. He's not technically the best, but there's many, like if I hear Cam Luke, for instance, I'm like, oh, this is a, put it on mute, because he just won't stop talking. He's a motor.
I like Cam. He comes from a horse racing background, but I don't hate him for that. I think he's all right. I like his energy. He'll go kind of crazy.
I like him as a host. I don't like him as a commentator. We all have our preferences, right? And it's a hard gig. So, yeah. You know,
Woody, is there anything you want to say? Look, any sort of mistakes we've made you want to correct or anything?
I like D-Ross's shoes, you know? They're dope, man, you know, on the call. But, you know, it's like he was paired up with Gaze and Corey. And I just thought the three of them did a good job together. I mean, Gaze and Corey got this great banner together. Gaze like, speak on it, man. Speak on it, right?
That was fun.
He says that a lot, man. So I just thought they fit in well together. And D-Ross, he serves his purpose. And he might not be a basketball guru, but he does a decent job, man. I don't mind him at all, actually.
So. That's exactly what I said to Body. I was like, I disagree. But that is... I think we've come to the end, guys, unless we've got any last minute agenda.
No, I want to say, Woody, thanks for
yeah, thanks,
crashing Woody. Our party. It's awesome, man.
Absolute pleasure. I had fun with you guys, man. You guys are awesome. You know, AC, JC, my homies, man, to hang out with you guys. It's been fun. So really appreciate you having me on the show. And AC, JC has been on Throwback Hoops.
Yeah.
So in 2022 at some stage, as long as you get a nice jersey, man, we'd love to have you on the show.
Hey, man, I've got a good three in the cupboard ready.
All right, man. So choose one of those, homeboy. Yeah. And we're good to go, right? Yeah.
I want to make this point as well. When I started this thing, just talking to Mike, it was, I don't know if there were other podcasts out there getting it. There was myself and others. And then it slowly grew. Now, Sport Blokes over in WA, listen to them. Throwback Hoops is Woody. Listen to that. Like, you've probably each week got maybe 10 hours of content, bit from the NBL, a few other places.
Great to see, man. Yeah.
Man, really good to see. And it's
all so different. Like, it's all got its own flavor, you know. So totally. you don't like Joe and me. Try something else out. Like,
try some bubblegum or some hokey pokey.
That's right.
All right, guys, let's get out of here. Thanks very much for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
Most importantly, Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. What's yours, Woody?
At Throwbacks Hoops. Throwback.hoops on Instagram, YouTube, Throwback Hoops, you know us. Yeah.
At
Andrew TikTok, Canyon. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. At Andrew Canyon.
That's it.
If you like this show, become a patron. We'd appreciate that. This show gets routinely between 500 and 1,000 listens. We got 20 patrons. Most of you get it for free. You're welcome, by the way. And then what else? I think that's about it. Oh, Body's book. Go ahead. A Type of Life. I got my copy. I paid for it. It's good. You'd like it. Right, gentlemen.
I paid for it. I'm still waiting for it to arrive.
Woody, you got the last word.
Yeah, Body told me, don't borrow Robbie's, man. Order your own copy. So I'm doing that, Body. I'm doing that, homie. I'm getting my own copy. It's on its way. So, yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, guys.